All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to the DFO Rundown Podcast with Frank Saravalli and Jason Greger on dailyfaceoff.com.
Welcome to episode 271 of the DFO Rundown, brought to you by Betano.ca. The game starts now. Tonight, 11 games in the National Hockey League. Can the Flyers win their fifth in a row as they host the Stars? Meanwhile, the Edmonton Oilers looking for their 12th consecutive victory. There's a little bit of angst in Calgary, but not for the Flames. The Maple Leafs coach challenges his player. So lots for you to bet on. And of course, coming up in the NFL, they're down to the, we'll call it the quarterfinals. I know, eh? But, you know, Buffalo, Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes, would he win his first road playoff game? Of course, if it's only road playoff game, which is mind-blowing to me. So you can bet on all that at Betano.ca. I'm Jason Greger alongside Frank Saravalli, who joins us from Calgary today, getting set for the pond hockey tournament coming up this weekend. Frank, do you have extra layers? A little chilly for the fellas this year.
Actually, it's setting up to be quite nice in Jasper, plus degrees.
What?
In Jasper. It looks like it's really? plus two on Saturday and Sunday. Oh, Celsius, well, which is like 36 Fahrenheit, yes. Which is, I don't know that you can, especially after how cold it was. I mean, I would have taken minus 10, minus 15, minus 40. You're not playing, but minus 10. Yeah, we could live with that. I think we did that last year, but
minus 10 is nothing.
Plus degrees. I'm going to be out there in a hoodie.
Yeah. Why not? I didn't know it was that warm. Ooh, might have to go skiing. I like it. How's your hockey? Are you in shape? Can you play? Got blisters? What's going to happen?
Round is a shape. So, I guess I am in one. No, I've been actually pushing a little bit since January started, making some small changes in my life. And I don't know. Hopefully it's adding up. I've been riding the bike. And I don't know that that translates to hockey at all, but I have been on the ice coaching and flipping pucks and skating. So we'll see. I mean, can't be any worse than last year.
It's true. When you're coaching, do you know which kids you can rely on? And I say that as we transition to Sheldon Keefe. And, you know, I said, hey, I'm not sure which guys I can rely on in certain situations. The funny thing is, obviously, I was watching the Toronto-Edmonton game. Hell of a game. The pace was unreal. Mm-hmm. Toronto probably should have been up 3-0. Bertuzzi couldn't have hit the post more clean than he did early. And then Holmberg got robbed by Stuart Skinner. Jones did stop Hyman and McDavid on breakaways. But I actually didn't think Toronto played that bad. They lost the game and they've blown leads in three consecutive games. So I get the frustration.
Oh, so you're in the Mitch Marner camp. Oh, he great hockey.
No. I never said great. First of all, great gets overused way too often. You're not great when you're a wild card team. Okay.
Well, they're teetering on the edge. I mean, the Red Wings, I think actually the Red Wings win knocked them out of the playoffs last night.
No. Knocked them out of third. Toronto's now the number one wild card team. And I know if you go by, Frank, by points percentage, then they're still ahead of Detroit. I still look at points. I know games played. Yeah, it helps only if you win them. But yeah, the Leafs have 42 games and 50 points. And then, man, what a race after.
It's basically one win that separates them from being outside the playoffs.
Yes. New Jersey is currently the 12th place team in the East, and they're 2 points out of a playoff spot. The Lightning have 49, Penguins and Capitals have 48, Islanders 48, New Jersey 47, and even the Montreal Canadiens have 45 points. So it's, the race. Now, Buffalo is 7 back with so many teams to climb. I don't think it's possible the way they played, but my goodness, like there's more teams who could look and think, like if you're Buffalo and say, geez, if we could win 4 in a row here, we might be within 2 points.
I could see that. I mean, as poorly as they've played to this point, we know that this team, or at least we think this team, is better than what they've shown. But I want to go back to the Leafs. Like, what you mentioned that they didn't play that bad. When I watched the game, I saw a team that stopped playing. They get a lead, and it's almost like they go into the old prevent defense that has killed NFL teams forever. Yeah. You have to continue to be aggressive, and they just stopped. It was almost like they invited Connor McDavid and the Oilers to get back into it.
Well, it really changed when Marty Jones, who played excellent, then let in a softy, and that changed the game. Right, like that backhand Drysdale celebration. He was like, "What? It went in?" Right, like he's just basically a blind backhand. Put the puck on net, and they always say, "Put the puck on net, good things will happen." But he was not expecting that goal to go in. It goes in, and you know that gave the Oilers some life. And then Ryan McLeod took over the game in the third period. It wasn't one of the superstars for the Edmonton Oilers. It was McLeod with a goal and an assist, on the tying goal, the game winner. And there's a team, Frank, that there. It's funny, like. They find ways to win right now. There's only 3 teams in the NHL who have a winning record when they allow the first goal. 3. And one of them's Edmonton, and that's because in their 11-game winning streak, 6 times they've won when allowing the first goal. Like, it's just not sustainable, right? Like, it's funny in the NHL, like, there's certain statistics that over the time, you look at last year, you look at the year before, very few teams can have a winning record. Like Colorado and Dallas, by the way, the other two, and they're like 565. So it's not like you're dominating, but you know, they've won 13 out of 23 games when they trail giving up the first goal. And Edmonton is now 10 and 8. Like it's hard to do. And so Toronto, I think that's probably what's more frustrating is you give up leads in 3 consecutive games. Sometimes when you have multiple goal leads. And so you got to find a way to either get the next one. And I know that 2-0 leads or 2-goal leads today, Frank, aren't like they were, you know, even a decade ago. Back then it was like, well, game over, right? Guys, you can't really lock it down anymore. The way the rules are and the way teams attack, I think a 2-0 lead is a bonus, but it's far from a guarantee to win.
So how aggressive would you be if you're Brad Treliving?
Oh,
he makes his return to Calgary tonight. It's the Treliving Bowl. What a great game to step into at the Dome. Excited for that. And you look at this team, and I just think they have so much surgery to do on defense. So they've got multiple pieces that they need to acquire. They've gotten basically no picks and very little cap space outside of the Klingberg LTIR money.
No, but that's a lot of money. Right, that's $4 million.
It's a lot of money, but what assets are you going to move to get those guys? That's the problem.
Well, I think you've got the young guys, Minton and a few of their young kids. If
they're not moving Fraser Minton, are they?
Another draft. Well, they might have to, like, or maybe even like Robertson off of your roster.
Okay, so if Nick Robertson, I'm not disparaging a player.
No, he's not giving you a lot.
If Nick Robertson played for any other team, we'd never talk about him again.
Yeah, you could be right. The one thing Toronto has, Frank, is they have skilled forwards Now, the problem is that their skilled forwards, like Matthews is obviously separate and Nylander, they're good, but a lot of their skilled forwards are kind of the same, right? Like they don't really have anybody who plays a heavy game. Matthews is probably the heaviest guy. I know Bertuzzi, you know what? He sticks his nose in there and stuff, but they don't really have that. And that, to me, that's an issue in Toronto. But I look at their defense core and I think they have to upgrade at least two defensemen. TJ Brody's not a top pair defenseman anymore. He's playing with Morgan Riley.
Okay. This is how I analyzed the Leafs D the other day. Morgan Riley for me is a two. So you got Morgan Riley at two. You've got two number four defensemen in Brody and McCabe. And then the rest of your team, the other three guys you have are sevens on good teams. Maybe you could say Benoit's pumped himself up.
Yeah, I think Benoit's played himself.
He's still a third pair guy.
Yeah. So, and those guys are important in the playoffs for sure.
So, okay, I give you that. But how do you look at this team, this defense core as assembled right now and say that this team's a cup contender? There's been so much talk about Sheldon Keefe and his job and what happens next. My thing is you've got to improve and conduct some surgery on this roster before you can even really begin to analyze the coaching part of it. I think the fact that this team is on track to be a 100-point team sounds about right, given where their roster is.
Oh, yeah. At the start of the season, when you looked at Toronto's roster, everybody knew what the questions were. And here we are, we're halfway through the season. They're the exact same questions, right? Like,
is that accurate, though?
You don't think like, at the start they of the were, year, you,
No, no, go back to the preseason predictions and almost unanimously, the Leafs were picked to win the division. Everyone thought, no way Boston's going to be that good again. The Panthers have some serious injury questions on their back end with Montour and Ekblad missing. No one was really sure what to make of the Wings. They were the unanimous. People were drinking the Kool-Aid, unanimous division pick.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that they're... And I think that was more so because people thought Boston was going to take a step back and Florida's going to take a step back.
But my point is people were drinking the Kool-Aid.
Look at Bertuzzi and good in the division, but they still had warts. I don't think anybody was like, oh, Toronto's so good. Everybody said, what do they have to improve on? Their defense core, right? And here we are. And what are we talking about? Their defense core. Like, so to me, when you asked about Treliving, yeah. And I think you can't wait till March 8th. You can't wait till March 7th. And now, obviously, you need two teams to tango, so you need a partner out there who's wanted to do it. And as we outline, there's still teams out there who think, hey, maybe I can get in. And if I get in, I can be the 8th seed Florida Panthers from 2023 or the 8th seed Edmonton Oilers.
They're just dreaming in technicolor.
Hey, Frank, but it's the truth, though, right? Every few years,
it's not.
An 8-seeded team that takes a deep run. There is. Happens
but
all
that's
the time.
That the Panthers don't count.
Why?
They won the President's Trophy the year before. It was a good team that underachieved in the regular season.
Okay. They're still an 8-seed. But we can go through the list of other below-seeded teams that weren't President's Trophy that get hot in the playoffs, right? That's my point. There's been lots of 7 and 8 seeds who go 2, 3, 4 rounds. Now, they don't ever finish it off. I think that's
I'm just saying anyone dreaming that this year in particular with how good the West is, please pass me whatever you're smoking.
What about the East?
Right. Like, I think the East is relatively wide open.
Yeah. So that's my point, right? So you take, there's some teams in there. I still think Montreal is going to trade people. I firmly believe that. Right. Monahan and others, but I still think Frank on January 18th, that even though Treliving should be making trades, like we talk about the Calgary Flames. Are the Calgary Flames ready yet to sell? I don't think they are. We can argue if they should.
No, I the Flames already made one trade in 2023. They're ready to go. They would have moved out more pieces by now, especially while they were sub 500. They haven't had the right offers. Teams haven't been ready to go and make those trades yet for cap reasons, for asset reasons. For they want to see how their team shapes out before they really spend and commit. So they've been in a holding pattern. They've been held hostage here, I think, by you know, the other teams that have expressed interest and been in the mix, the one exception to that is Hanifin. That's the one guy that they are still talking to, still trying to work something out. And the reason for that is, one, and I said this from the beginning of the year, if you trade all of your pending UFAs and it's only for futures, you don't really have a chance to compete in 2 to 3 years. You have to keep someone. And Hanifin is the guy that makes a lot of sense, because then you can go Uyghur, Hanifin, and Anderson into next year, and that's at least half of a solid decor to get you started before you then go about filling the rest of it out. If you've got to get 4 defensemen next summer instead of 3, like, it just makes the task that much taller, and you're in big trouble. So they're still talking to Hanifin, still waiting, still trying to slow play this out, but the rest of it, the Flames are ready to sell. I've been saying it for months.
So what's the value for Chris Tanev? What do you think he's command? What do you think is going to be a return for him? He just turned 34 in December, right? He's a defensive defenseman, right? It doesn't bring you a lot of points or anything like that. Now, Toronto doesn't need that. I'm just using Toronto as an example. But like, what big of a return do you think that there is? Calgary asking too much right now?
No, I don't think so. I think also teams are a little bit leery too of watching the way he plays. I think you're really looking at a second round pick. I don't think it's much more than that for Chris Tanev.
Yeah. So, and Toronto now, they don't have
way more. The Toronto Maple Leafs don't have a second until 2027.
Yes.
They don't have any of their second round picks in 24, 25, 26. They have a first in 2024. They don't have one in 2025. I mean, that first round pick for this year's draft is really, outside of maybe a couple prospects that teams might be interested in, that's all you're looking at asset wise.
Yeah. No, so they got a lot of fifths rounders if they want to spack those up.
Yeah, that'll get you next to nothing. But yeah. I did want to mention Elias Lindholm, who's been number one on our trade targets board. And frankly, I don't really see him getting knocked off of that perch. But as part of our trade deadline preview series, I have a story up today with a full breakdown on Elias Lindholm's game, including a scouting report, buyer beware, and the places where he struggled, 5 potential suitors that make sense for Lindholm. And I think maybe even more interestingly is looking at some of the trade comps. Like, I think there's a real, you asked what Tanev can bring back. I think there's a couple real recent comps from last year that could point you in the direction of where, you know, what Calgary might expect to get in return. One is involves the Leafs. It's the Ryan O'Reilly trade with St. Louis. They got O'Reilly at 75% retained in exchange for a first, second, third, and the fourth was to launder the money, plus Adam Gaudette and Mikhail Abramov. And they also got Noel Achary. So if you break it down, you're probably looking at the fourth rounder to Minnesota to retain another 25%, the third for Noel Achary, and then the first and second are for O'Reilly and the retainment. So I think that's kind of between that and the Islanders in Vancouver trade, Bo Horvat for a first, Anthony Beauvillier and Atu Ratu. Those two trades are like somewhere in between those goalposts is where Craig Conroy should be lining up for the field goal. Fair or unfair?
Yeah, no, I think that's fair for Lindholm. And not, you know, I was looking up, you know, potentials for a guy like Tanev. And, you know, I saw Brock Sagan put out a thing like Lindholm's not having a great year right now. And I think, you know, people acquiring him are going to be acquiring him for what he's done in previous years. And so that there's always,
I don't think that's fair. Really taking a deep dive on his game and watching, I think what really stands out with Lindholm is that in order for him to be an elite point producer, he needs to play with elite players. Like here's another good example. like, so people are going to be concerned about the drop of production. Lindholm's on track for 54 points, which would be his lowest in a full season since 17-18. How much of that is on him, or how much of that is attributed to the fact that he just hasn't really been the same since Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Tkachuk left? Like, look at this. Look at these stats right here. 21-22, when he had 42 goals and 82 points, 66% of Lindholm's shots came from the slot. Last year, with those guys gone, it dropped from 66 to 45. And then this year, it's down even further from 45 to 37. So his slots from the shot have been cut in half in 2 years. And then you look at his shooting percentage drop because of that, it's down 11 percentage points in 2 years. So it went from 18% to 12 to now 7. Yeah, that's because he's not playing with elite players.
Yeah, but it's also the 21-22 season was his outlier season. He's never scored more than 29 goals in any other year, right? Like that was his career year of scoring goals.
Yeah, but right? Okay, so here's the thing. And like, there's a couple shortened seasons there that I think you really have to keep in mind too. Like 2021, he had 20 in just 56 games, 47 points. So he's in the mid 30s. But here's my point, and the reason why I brought up those trade comps is Lindholm has still he's a few years younger than O'Reilly was last year. But Lindholm has still gotten to heights, points and goal wise, that O'Reilly has never gotten to. And right now, he's better than what O'Reilly was last year.
Yeah, he might be. I never viewed Lindholm to me wasn't the tenacious. He's not in the same categories. Right? Ron O'Reilly's peak, I think, was better than Lindholm's. Me, and I'm not just talking offense. I'm talking all around player. I think Ryan O'Reilly was more physical, just was more an intense, consistent player in my eyes. And that's just how I view him. I like Lindholm. I'm just saying right now, I think his trade value is probably the lowest it's been. And is he going to go to a team that can offer him to play with a Gaudreau and Tkachuk like players? Right.
Elite cup contending team, you have a chance to play with those players
or those, but which cup contending team doesn't have a center? Like Colorado. But then who's on their second line? There's no Tkachuk or Gaudreau there because Rantanen's on the top line.
So the teams that I've listed as suitors are Boston, Colorado, yeah. Vancouver, Vegas, and Winnipeg.
Yeah. Well, Boston would be the one because he could play with either Marchand or Pasternak, I would assume. Right?
They just have no assets again.
No.
So here's, tell me if you think that I nailed the summary on Lindholm. We've seen enough to know Lindholm isn't going to do it on his own. He needs elite offensive line mates in order to pile up points, but he also has the defensive makeup to shut down opponents. Lindholm isn't going to transform a team into a cup contender, but he could help make a cup contender into a favorite.
Yeah, I think you're higher on Lindholm than I am. Okay. Like, I think Lindholm was like, he was the third best player on that line. And the year the line had like, one of the greatest years, all three guys score 40 goals, right? Like, it's very, very hard to do. If you look at just the history of the NHL, it was really like all the stars aligned that year for that line, right? And then, but then they got shut
runner
down
up for the Selke that year.
Yeah. And then they got shut down in the playoffs, funny enough. But, I've watched the Flames this year, Frank. And to me, he doesn't look, regardless of who he's playing with, he doesn't look as effective with the puck, regardless of who he's with. He doesn't look as quick right now to me than he did 2 years ago.
I think that's fair. I think he's never going to blow anyone away with his speed. I just think he's really deliberate with what he does with the puck and really deliberate with how fast he skates. Like, he's always in control, that he's never really in a bad spot, which is pretty important. And he's reliable and steady. And I just think compared Lindholm to, like, because this trade happened last year, we have a window to compare the two. And I think maybe the price for O'Reilly then was pretty inflated because of the trophy case, Stanley Cup and Conn Smythe, that they paid way too much. And I said it at the time and people were like, you're a Leaf hater. No, I'm not. He just, it's an overpay for where the player was at that exact moment in time. I think Lindholm is a step ahead of where O'Reilly was last year.
Yeah, that's interesting. I look at going back to, like, you look at Tanev this year compared to how Luke Shen played last year, just last year. How much? So, and you know, I think your second rounder for Tanev, because remember, Luke Shen cost a third. I think Tanev's a second. I don't think Calgary is getting, you know, any sort of significant, like, you know, a second rounder is a decent pick if it turns out for your team, but it's usually going to be a later second rounder, right? Like, I'm not sure the Tanev return is that high. And that's why I'm wondering, Frank, like, if a team really wanted him to give up a second rounder. Now, I know we said Toronto because a lot of people think, you know, Treliving's there and they need a defenseman. They don't have a second rounder. So maybe
makes sense to do it in a package if there's going to be like someone else you're going to get.
Is a third and a fifth equivalent to a second, or would it have to be a third and a fourth?
I don't have my draft value chart in front of me.
Yeah. So I wonder, it'd be close, right? So you could do that. The Boston, I still think Lindholm would work, but I think Lindholm might go there and be on their second line center. Charlie Coyle's had a really good season for Boston, right? Mm-hmm. And they're kind of building chemistry. I don't even know if you would switch him out for Lindholm.
So a third and a fifth. I'm just looking at the chart here.
It's got to be close.
Depends on where in the second round, of course. But
yeah, well, we assume it.
If
would
you're
be
talking like late,
a, yeah,
you're talking
it's
late,
be a late third and a late fifth too.
Right. You're looking at it. No, it's not.
No. So it's a third and a fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a few points short. So it's like a third and a fifth is equivalent to like a early third.
Now, it's always funny to look back at the trade deadlines and, you know, which trades really worked out. I want to get your thoughts on Jacob Chychrun in Ottawa. And do you think they're looking to move him? You know, it was they gave up 2 seconds, one this year, one in 26, and a conditional first round pick in 2023 for Jacob Chychrun last year, did the Ottawa Senators. Where do you make of where he's at right now? Because him and Shabbat as a D pair have struggled.
So I think Chychrun has played really good since arriving in Ottawa. Like, I think his game has been even on another level than what it was in Arizona. The cap hit is obviously still really attractive at 4.6 and has 1 year left. Here's the thing. I think if you were really to inject some truth serum into the Sens, the answer you'd get is we're open to anything. And I think that includes Thomas Shabbat. But I think Shabbat is a lot harder to move because of the term and the dollars on his deal. And therefore, you're probably getting less value. So they're overloaded on the left side of their D. Like, Sanderson, Shabbat, and Chychrun is not spending $24 million on just one side of your D. It's not going to work. So I think they have to make a move there. We know Sanderson's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. And Shabbat probably has a bit less value because of his contract. That Chychrun is the guy that stands out as having surplus value. And it probably makes sense, even though you might want to keep Chychrun over Shabbat, just stylistically, that you have to pull the trigger and move Chychrun, because you're also having to answer a question this summer. Are we extending this guy or not? Because that's when they first can. And that's really kind of the tough part, right? Is your decision or your hand is going to be forced at some point in the relatively near future. You might want to rip the Band-Aid off.
Do you see a player? Because, you know, many GMs said at this time last year, he wasn't available. Then he became available right before the deadline. You know, he had multiple years left of term, pretty big contract at $6 million. Is there a Matthias Ekholm similar contract, solid player that you think would be available from another team at this year's deadline?
Similar contract to Ekholm?
And similar player, like a legit top three defensemen, right? Some would argue, like, when you look at the left side of Edmonton with Ekholm and Nurse, it's pretty good left side, top two, right? And I'm talking like he's a difference maker. Like Ekholm comes to a team and like he really solidified. He helps Evan Bouchard. There's no doubt about that, right? I'm talking a guy who's, you know, he's pretty big.
Who do you consider solid, I guess, is the question. So like, well, look at St. Louis. Justin Falk, Torrey Krug, Colton Parayko, Nick Leddy. All four of those guys have no trade protection. All four are locked up for three seasons at least.
Yeah.
Parayko even longer. All three of them on the wrong, all four of them on the wrong side of 30. The St. Louis Blues haven't won with these guys. We know Doug Armstrong wants to shake it up. He nearly traded Krug to the Flyers last summer. I mean, you'd have to think that any one of those guys is in play for the right price. Like,
yeah, like Colton Parayko might be the one to me that's, you know, when you're that big and mobile, Frank, now he makes 6.5 and I think he's got 5 years after
it's
this.
It's 6.5 until 2030.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, the problem.
Yeah. He's 30 right now. So, you know, you look at that and it's, you know, he'll be 36. I think Ekholm's deal's done when he's 35 or 36. Now Parayko skates really well. That's the one thing. Usually guys who skate well age better historically, right?
I don't know. So, I don't know any 6'6" guys that really age gracefully.
Well, Sedan,
I don't know about you. Okay.
Sedan,
yeah.
Chara.
That guy's, he's in a class of his own. He's a freak. He's still running marathons.
Yeah.
A freak.
Yeah. So, but because if I was looking between Falk, now Torrey Krug gives you a lot of offense, no question, shorter term deal, but he's also 2 years older, right? Like the you know, Falk's, I
but
guess
he's that, really mobile. It's just, yeah, do you believe an undersized defenseman?
I do if their name's Makar and Hughes and Fox, but others I have concerns about. Yes.
At 5'9", you're not buying on Torrey Krug.
No. For me, no. I think it's at 6.5. You know, if he's in your second pair, probably, but that's a lot for a second pair of guy. Now the difference is Krug can give you offense. He can help at power play a lot. So there is that advantage for him. But if I was looking at their blue line, I think Parayko is the guy who I think could garner the most value for another team just because of his size, his skating ability. He's one, right? He doesn't bring you a boatload of offense, but you know what? He's a decent enough puck mover in today's game. I don't think it's a concern at all. Like, he's not just an off the boards guy and out. He's not super physical for his size, but if it was me and I had to pick, he's the youngest and his contract,
he makes sense. It's just, are you willing to live with whatever those years look like at the tail end? And for a lot of GMs are like, hey, that's not even going to be my problem.
That was just going to be my point. Exactly. Like, how many GMs realistically are saying, okay, I've got for sure more than 4 years, not many. So I think that's the guy. And I look at St. Louis, Frank, and I'll be curious because I think Parayko, like you talk about, you know, the outline you said about Lindholm. I look at Parayko for a team. All of a sudden you plop him in your top four. I think your defense is a lot better.
How many teams? So like, let's also consider the contract here. Like, St. Louis isn't going to want to take and retain salary on one of these guys because of the years left.
Yeah, you need,
especially for Parayko. Like, you need someone that can either, it's not even a third party broker is not going to help you. No one wants to be locked in that long. You're going to have to take the whole cap hit.
Yeah, you probably need a team that has a defenseman that's kind of like a Tyson Barry, right? Who was making 4.5 for one more year. So the cap space work and they get out of it a little bit sooner. And away you go.
But
now,
Nashville isn't, so I get the example, but Nashville isn't going to be adding. So who is, like, what team is going to be willing to trade that much cap off of their books? Cause then you're deleting at other positions. I think St. Louis is in tough. I don't think I know Justin Falk had 50 points last year and people love the sort of playoff experience and grit that Nick Leddy, like, I don't know that anyone really is all that excited about what St. Louis has to offer.
Yeah.
No, in terms of their defensemen.
Yeah. Like, the one team I think that could do it, Frank, because it's a 6.5 to a 5, and then you add in other pieces, would be Colorado. But I don't think St. Louis has any interest in Samuel Girard, right? Because that's the team that could do it.
I would have interest in Sam Girard. If I were the, and look, the Blues, I know we though, just,
when you've got Krug and
Falk, I know we like, just talked about undersized defensemen. I get it. But I think he'd have value somewhere else. I think he's a great flippable piece.
Yeah, no, but he's the guy that in the trade that would work. And I think for Colorado, man, that would be massive. But
do they need him? I don't know that they do.
Well, buddy, look at the chances they're giving up in Colorado. Like, I know we've talked a lot about Colorado and how many games their goalies played. Go back and you can look the numbers at where they rank in giving up quality chances. They have not been nearly, I think, as stingy as they would like right now defensively as a team. Not close. So I think they would look to improve. Like, their top pair is elite. But after that, man.
You know where, like... If I were Arizona, Parayko's a guy that I'd be interested in.
Yeah, but is he going to accept the trade there?
I don't know. But that's exactly the type of scenario. Like, you need to build. They don't have one defenseman under contract for next year in Arizona. Not one.
Yeah.
I know there's a bunch of RFAs, but still, not one. Who's going to anchor your D for the next 5 years?
Yeah. Good but
that's
point.
Again probably not a deadline trade anyway, even if it were to happen.
No, and I don't know. Now, hey, maybe Parayko's interested in the lovely weather, likes to golf, but I think guys who have, like, you know, he won fairly early in his career, right? I think you get a taste of that, man. You want to be on teams that you feel at least can be competitive. At least I could be wrong, but that's what I would think, right? Like, I think it would be harder to go at 25, you win at 26, 27, and then at 31, you're going to a team where you're like, well, I'm here for 5 years and we got no chance to win. Like I just think that would be hard mentally, right? And some guys like, well, I'm just happy to be in the league and that's great. But I don't know. I think once you get a taste of winning, like, guys who haven't won are like, yeah, I'd like to win. But then some of them, they don't know what they're missing. Like, you think what it feels like when you win, but until you actually win, you don't know. And usually when you talk to the guys,
you think
guys,
you know, but you don't.
Yeah, exactly. You don't know. Like, you imagine it. Oh God. Yeah. I'm going to feel so happy. Well, of course you're going to feel happy. But I've talked to so many players afterwards and they're like, man, like there was like, it was so hard, but God, it was so rewarding. Like, even better than I ever could have imagined. Right. That's what they all say. So once you've had that, man, it must be hard. Like, obviously lots of guys don't do it, but at least they might think their team's competitive. Right. Mm. So we'll see.
I answered your question. You asked which team, you know, where are you going to get a guy under contract? Like,
well, it's
you've got to look to teams that are probably not happy with their current spot and then provide the sort of get out of jail free card. Like, the Blues can't possibly keep running this defense corps back, can they?
No.
I guess they could, but like, three more years of the same guys in your top four. Like, there's not even an opportunity for one of your young guys to come in and take a spot.
Hey, Frank, the team we talked about who needs an upgrade on the blue line. What if you trade TJ Brody? Now, I know it's done for, you know, he's a UFA. So St. Louis is like, okay, but the cap works this year, right? It's 5 million to 6.5. And then you add in the other pieces. If you're Toronto, would you go after Parayko?
Yes.
Yeah.
But can I just say something, and not to toot my own horn, but I was absolutely ridiculed on social media for saying earlier this year that the Leafs should have bought out Brody in the summer, or at least considered it. Ridiculed.
Yeah.
I just want to point that out. Everyone kept saying, oh, he's our best defenseman. You could make the argument he has been their worst defenseman. And you could see it coming from 1 million miles away.
Well, I really wonder about Brody, though, Frank, is if you put him where he should be, because right now they're asking him to do stuff he's not capable of anymore. He's not a top pair defenseman.
But he was what he was but last year was Jake Muzzin a couple years ago.
Yeah, you're right.
The criticism doesn't bother me. It's just no one ever comes back around and says, hey, you know what? That actually made a lot of sense, because they could have bought him out for $0. It was a $0 cap hit this year. And then you would have had 5 million more to spend.
Yeah.
That's why the buyout was attractive. It was just unique in the structure. And it was like, oh my God, we could get out of this guy for no pain this year.
Yes. Very true. Yeah, the fact that it was a zero buyout, which is still, it's crazy, some of the calculations. But yeah, it was it made sense, 100%, right? You would add some negative cap space next year, but you would have had a big bonus this year. So I look at Toronto, and to me, they're the number one team who has really good players who without question, I think if they don't upgrade their blue line, Frank, they got no chance to go deep in the playoffs. That's just a fact.
Mm-hmm.
I think every Leaf fan would agree with that. I think management would probably agree. And that's why I think they're going to get something done at some point. And I think sooner than later. Now, it probably doesn't happen until after the All-Star break, if I'm being realistic, right? Because the teams come back on February 6th, then we basically have a month, right, to run to the to March 8th. So, you know, that's when they're really going to have to lock it down if you're Toronto. Because I think that's when I look at teams, like a lot of other teams are looking to add pieces here or there, no question. But they're
but here's why I said... That the timing is not, I don't think is right now. I still think they have to answer the Samsonov question before they can continue. Because if you have to divert assets and cap space elsewhere to solve your goaltending.
Nah, they got three guys. I think they might just stand pat. You have three goalies and you work through it.
Okay.
Right, because there's no goalie on the market. There's no goalie on the market who's like, unless you think Marc-Andre Fleury's coming. Right, there's no other goalie on the market that I think is a clear upgrade over what they have.
So Fleury probably costs you a third, right? I think Blackhawks had to grind to get a second last time, and that was a few years ago.
Didn't he have a big hit then though? Right, wasn't his cap hit still 7 mil? Like it's 3.3 now. So you could be right though. Like goalies rarely get a big return.
They rarely get a big return, and his number, he's a gamer, but his numbers are good, but not great.
Mm-hmm.
He's been asked to do too much this year with the Gustafson injuries.
Yes. So, but outside of him, I don't see a goalie like, you know, Merzlikins
who's taking the term.
Yeah. It's a term.
I mean, his numbers are good this year, but they were awful last year.
Yeah. And they're okay this year. Yeah. So
they're good.
I still think when that guy goes somewhere else, Frank, I think when you lose one of your best friends, it's hard to shake that. I think if he goes somewhere else, I think there's a team. Columbus is going to sell low. And I think there's a pretty good chance the team that gets Merzlikins will like the return as far as value and what he gives them.
But I don't think they're going to sell low at all, because I don't think that they're going to have anyone to even take him right now.
No, I don't think it happens till the summer.
It's tough.
Yeah. But you know what's going to happen, Frank? Teams in the summer are going to be like, man, our goaltending wasn't good enough. Let's go try this. 100%. I think it gets straight in the offseason for sure. Let's bring in Tyler Yaremchuk to this program.
What is going on, gentlemen? I'm back with a fresh edition of Buy or Sell, and it is delivered by DoorDash for a limited time. Our Canadian listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more. All you need to do is download the DoorDash app and use the promo code NATION25. Frank, you're up in Canada, so why not get in the mix? Try out the new Double Dash feature. You can get a Donair and a slushie brought to your room. That's good. That's good living.
I DoorDashed last night when I arrived here. I was sitting at home last week, and Friday nights after coaching hockey, after doing a little work, I like to, my guilty pleasure on Friday nights is watching a little Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives with Guy Fieri. And they went to a place in Calgary, and I was like, that it was, I don't know how to say it properly, Nepalese food from Nepal.
Okay.
And they went to this place called Calgary Momo House. And it actually, oddly enough, is right near the airport. So I landed and I said, I am going to dash that for the win. And I got it delivered right to my hotel.
It's good living.
So I could try the place from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. You should have seen me last Friday night. I like had my phone out. I was all excited. Like, hey, write this place down. What's this place called?
That is sweet. All right, let's get into the questions. I got three lined up for you guys. The streets are clamoring. They always want Corey Perry updates. So let's talk a little Corey Perry. I'm going to say he signs with a Canadian team. Buy or sell, Frank.
Ooh, so the question is Canada or the field?
Yeah.
I'm going to sell. Just because outside of Edmonton, I don't really think Toronto's in the mix. Don't know that I see him going to Van or Winnipeg. And then Montreal, Ottawa, they're all out of it.
No, yeah.
And he's not going to Calgary. So I think that kind of just leaves Edmonton. And I'll take the field.
Jay?
Well, Canada's some of the hottest teams in the league right now. And I think the three hottest overall last 25 games in Vancouver, Winnipeg, and Edmonton.
Okay, so we won the World Juniors.
That's
the way you said it, it was so funny. It was like, well, Canada has the hottest teams in the league. Like, okay,
good. But they good do. Job. I'm just pointing out things. Right. This is how it goes. By the way, we are going to do our Canada-US rosters when Canada kicks their ass. And the next time there's a real best on best. But I would probably sell as well because I'm just playing the odds, right? There's more American teams. I will say, like, on paper, Edmonton and him are a very good fit. There's no question about it, right? Like, Edmonton needs a right winger. Corey Perry wants to go to a team that has a chance, and the Oilers, they got a legit chance. But I don't think it happens. Hope I'm wrong for Oilers fans, but I don't think it happens.
Just the three best teams based on points percentage since December 1st, Greg's your bang on. Jets, Oilers, Canucks, 775 points percentage for the Canucks. Both the Oilers and Jets are in the 800s. All right, next one I got.
800s.
Next one I got for you guys, let's go to Boston. You guys talked a little bit about Charlie Coyle, the season he's having, and maybe it's calming down the need for them to add a top six center. But I'm going to say the Bruins go out and make a big splash, add a top six center before the deadline. Buy or sell, Greg's?
Man, I'm going to give the Bruins. I was so wrong in the Bruins. Their center ice, their whole team has played infinitely better than I thought they would be. So kudos to them. How many top six guys are available, right? That's the question to me. So you know what? I'm not sold. I'm going to sell. I think Boston's going to make an echo, but I'm not sold. It's going to be a locked and loaded top six guy.
Frank?
I think they'd like one, but I don't know. There's something about that organization. They know what their team is. I think they really like their room. They could use a finisher though, right? The problem is there's not a lot available.
Finisher? They got one of the best in the league.
Yeah, but you need, like, having one is great. I think they'd like to have and not an elite finisher because none of those guys are available. I'm just talking like a good quality contributor offensively, right? Like, you know, Marchand's got 19, but they've only got four guys in double digits, right? Like Trent Frederick's, I think, fourth on their team in goals, having a really good year with 13. But I think they'd like to add another guy who is around like a 19 to 25 goal type of player.
Again, what assets? They don't have a first, second, or third this year, or a second next year. They have their 2025 first round pick. And unless you're a team that's really excited about getting a first 2 years from now, like I don't know. Maybe you're betting, and if you could get it unprotected, that the Bruins have a drop off. I don't know what the play is, but they're short on prospects and assets and cap space, quite frankly.
Yeah. They find ways to do it.
They do. And they took some big swings last year because of the spot that they were in, you know, with that magical season. They did not leave any stone unturned. I wonder if that going through that kind of, it's like a recoil, kind of like, remember Florida, the year they won the President's Trophy and they went out and made all those trades. They got Claude Giroux and who's the big defenseman Florida traded for?
Sherratt.
Ben Sherratt. I mean, they gave up a first round pick for Ben Sherratt, and then all of a sudden they turned around. They're like, oh, whoa, we can't do that every year.
No.
And maybe there's part of Boston that's feeling that same way, is we've had a good team. Maybe we can make it through based on what we have or close to it. But by the way, can we address the Patrice Bergeron rumors?
There are Patrice Bergeron rumors.
I guess you didn't see the Chicklets guys talking about Patrice Bergeron. They said the rumor boys, they said they've heard he's been skating.
Coming out of retirement just for the stretch run. That would be a veteran move. Very veteran move.
I don't think it's going to happen.
No.
Look, I'm not reporting that. I don't think it's in his nature to just kind of barge in. And as much as the Bruins want it to happen, and believe me, the Bruins front office is asking and they're not shy about it, which makes sense given all that we just talked about. Could you imagine Patrice Bergeron for little cap hit and not having to give up any assets? I mean, it makes a lot of sense. I don't knowing people that have talked to him as recently as a couple weeks ago, it wasn't even a thought in his mind. And unless something really changed, that's my understanding of where it is.
I know you said it's not in his nature for him to barge in, but I mean, what if they really make it feel like he's not, right? You get the boys texting him, come back, we need you, we miss you. Oh, come on, everyone misses their
They passed the torch. Like, and I think he knows that his body had just had enough.
That's fair. All right, last one I got for you guys. We're going to head out west right now where the eight playoff teams are the Jets, Avs, Stars, Canucks, Knights, Kings, Oilers, and Preds. I will say those are your eight. No playoff race in the West. Those eight are going to stay in those eight spots. Buy or sell on that, Frank?
I'm going to sell.
Think the Preds slip?
Yeah, I think the Preds are the only one here. I mean, I just think between one of, and I think it's a real long shot for Mini, but one of Mini, St. Louis, Arizona, Seattle, or Calgary is going to catch the Preds.
I just look at it as a lot of those teams, or all of them, including the Preds, are really flawed. The Preds have the best goalie. He might just drag them in. Jay, you buying or selling on those eight staying the same out west?
Yeah, I think the seven teams are set. Minnesota, I don't see how Minnesota turns it around at this point. They're 8 points back. You know, they haven't made up really any ground here lately, and now they're going backwards. What do they want? Two of their last 10? So Seattle and Calgary would be the two teams that I give the best chance. I give Arizona credit, man. They kind of hung around, but
they have the second best points percentage. It's Preds and then Yotes.
Yeah.
And they have a better goal differential. Like if any team in that group has a chance, like, I think all of those teams are selling or need to sell, including Minnesota. We just talked about St. Louis. The Coyotes are not deep enough or strong enough to just stand pat at the deadline and say, hey, you know what? It's great that we could have got some assets, but we're going to try and roll the dice and get in. They can't do that. They have to sell. The Kraken are the one team that could kind of, you know, say, hey, you know what? We're staying the course here. We've got a bunch of guys that have contracts and term. We're not trading them, but we talked about Calgary and their need to do it. And the Preds are realistic. You just might be right, Tyler, on the goalie part.
Yeah.
Like I look at the Coyotes and I could make an argument why they need to, for their fan base to say, no, we're not just going to sell off and have another wasted year again. We're going to look to try to compete. And, you know, they're now all of their defensemen are
they're not doing it.
Yeah. Well, you could be right. But to me, that's just a loser mentality. You know, they're that close and we're going to sell off again. Why? To sell off and get what? The 12th overall pick? The hell does that do for you?
It's fair. All right, there you go. That is a wrap on this week's edition of Buy or Sell, delivered by DoorDash.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
So I think finishing first in the West is a big advantage because I think...
Huge. There's huge actually advantage. Something to play for.
Yes.
Because you're going to have the one cupcake first round matchup.
Yeah,
and everything else, every other team, no matter how good they are outside of that 1-8, is scrapping for dear life to make it to the second round.
Yeah, Dallas, Colorado, Winnipeg, Edmonton, Vegas, Vancouver, LA. It'll be
The old waste of 8 days, as Tyler reminded us.
Yeah, Darryl. Well, Colorado was an absolute wagon, and he was bang on about it that year.
But all of those teams, the seven compared to the eight, they're in a different stratosphere this year.
Oh yeah,
no, like you could have. I don't know
what I'll say this, Frank. The Kings, man, they have really struggled as of late. Like I think the Kings are, you might put the six and then the Kings are a little bit below. They got to regroup because they have not been good here for quite a while. Like Edmonton's gained 12 points on them, 12 in a span of a month. Like that's ridiculous.
The Jets, if they win the West, the first seed, they could finish upwards of 40 points higher.
Oh yeah.
It's like 38 points higher than the eight seed. And I know that that's somewhat routine, but we're talking about a really big gap and all those other teams are going to be north of 100.
Yeah. So, well, you know what? Selfishly, I want Winnipeg to win the West because then we have no crossover. So go Jets, go Jets, go. God. It's the stupidest rule in sports, Frank. You have to admit it. There's no rhyme or reason for it. None.
By the way, little preview. I have Seth Jarvis coming on Frankly Speaking last week, and I asked him what's one rule you could change if you could in the NHL. And he said to make referees speak to media after games to explain what happened. And I was like, yes, finally we are aligned on something. Players and media.
The NBA does it. So there is ways that you could.
Major League Baseball does a poll reporter. The NFL constantly is issuing statements. They all acknowledge that they're wrong. And for whatever reason, the NHL thinks that referees are going to be day to day with hurt feelings because they got a call wrong when we all know they already did.
Yeah. Well, no, but I guess you'd look and say, well, what are we going to say? Yeah, we made a mistake. Okay. Now I feel better. Like, I guess so.
Well, their thing is like, we got to protect these guys. They're our employees. Mm. We already know you screwed up. Please stop.
Yeah. Well, mistakes happen in the game. Like
mistakes happen in life. It's almost impossible to call it 100% correctly.
Well, of course it is impossible to do it. The game's so fast. I think the refs do an incredible job. Like, yeah, so they make mistakes.
I do too, but they don't. But my point is, in the eyes of the NHL, because they don't ever answer publicly, they never make mistakes.
Well, I guess, Frank, you know what you said earlier? It would sure be nice if someone would ever say we did a good job. When is the last time that? And so I could see why they're like, what's the benefit? We only talk. No one's going to want to talk to the refs when they call a great game. They're only going to want to talk to them if they miss a call. So I can understand why.
But that's not what they do in any other sport. Any other sport that they know, you don't go and talk to them after. Hey, you don't go down to the locker room and say, hey, ref, knock on the door. A pool reporter here to tell you what a great job you did. Like, that's not how it works.
It's just
no one comes up to the press box and says, like, hey, great story there. Well, they just remember all the prick stories you wrote.
Well, sure. But my point is, even you said, hey, it'd be nice if someone had said, hey, you know what? That was a good idea. But the point is, people only focus on the negative too often. So all that would do is add to the negativity. Stop. Right. There's never going to be a, hey, Wes McCauley had an excellent game tonight.
They got to put their big boy pants on. They don't live in reality. They live detached from reality at times.
Well, the NHL, sure, but not the officials. It's the NHL. So my personal note, I think, hey, the Bettman's had a great run. He's done a lot of things, but I think it's time for a change. I think there'd be a good opportunity for change.
He's, I think, 9 days away from becoming the longest tenured commissioner in pro sports history.
Yeah. So I think it's time for change. Frank, enjoy Calgary. Enjoy the outdoor game. We will chat with you on Lindy.
Thanks for listening to the DFO Rundown with Saravalli and Gregor. Keep it locked on dailyfaceoff.com and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.